All right, this is us this morning, so let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day. And Lord, I know we'd love sunshine, but it's not a bad day. And I thank you for it. Thank you for Ling and Frank and Will and Norman, for Monica and myself, for the desire to be here, the freedom to be here. And we do miss, of course, John. I prayed you'd look after him, whatever it is that got him the other day. For Carol and Stephen, for Esther, especially for Christy and for Mark as they travel in Mexico. Pray, O Lord, for safety for them there. And Lord, for Christine and Mary Ann, for Lord, for all of those that even have been and gone, for those, Lord, that need to be here, and especially, Lord, for Fleckner family at this time. Lord, just bless our time together, the lifting up of our praises and prayers, the reading of your word and the tithes and the offering, the announcements even, and the preaching and teaching of your word, and of course the wee bit of fellowship too. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for giving your son to give his life on the cross for us. And Lord, please lead us through this service and be one of our number. Take time with us this evening, Lord, this morning, Lord, and just work in our hearts and minds. We love you and thank you. Amen. All right. Amen. If you'd like to take and turn to, I think it's hymn number 31 in the little black hymn books, hymn number 31. It's not a new hymn, it's new to our collection of hymns. It's called "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." And we're going to sing that this morning. I'm going to say 66 verses.
Six verses.
Oh, goodness. Hit the wrong button. All right, here we go. Sound familiar to anybody?
No.
No.
No. I didn't know.
No.
Either.
It's not very. It's normally I'm being taught the new songs, but I think that's a. I remember singing that in church many, many, many years ago. Amen. Hymn number one in the same book, and then we'll have our Bible reading. How great thou art. And if you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
Morning's reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, and even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he hath descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of his ministry, for the edify of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning of craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint suppleth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, and ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, and he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, for the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Norman, and thank you, Steve, for the suggestions. I pray that that all went according to plan. Amen. Just want to remind you this morning, please, to make sure you get one of those little pumpkin orange prayer lists this morning. It's not in honor of Halloween or harvest or anything like that. It's just the next color in the stack of colors that Monica works her way through. And pray you please that you would remember, at least mention those prayer requests, especially, obviously Christy. He is, he's going through a big if I say a big transition, we know we're not talking about transgender. We're talking about going from being a single man, Lord willing, to a married man, and has a lot of things in his way. So please do pray about that, if you would. Please do pray for Taylor and Christy and, of course, Marky or Mark. And whenever he's taller than you, you can't call him by Marky anymore. So, Mark C, pray for him as well.
That's what I wanted.
Yes, indeed. Now, you may have gotten a wee text from me yesterday evening to do with John McMahon. Last I heard, he got home and he's feeling a bit better. Thinks he may have a nut or seed allergy, and he had some muesli or granola. And when you buy it out of the shops, you never know what you're getting in it. So I think he had a reaction to that. I am not sure, but he was up last night and had blood tests and I think a CT scan just to see exactly what was going on in his stomach in case maybe he had a blockage or something. And that's the last thing you need. So please do pray for his recovery. Of course, we miss Pat and Steve and Esther. And we miss Stephen and Carol and John as well. Please do pray for all of them. And do please pray for Georgina Fleckner. Her husband passed away there 3-4 weeks ago, was it? About a month ago. So please do pray for her. And I know you folks don't see them, but all of our neighbours get a CD. And so that's Stephen and Anne-Marie next door. And Carol Diamond, who also lost a cousin there about just over a month ago as well. For her and her mom and dad, that's Harry and Marie. For Jane and Corey, for Norman and Joan, Norman and Joan live at the end of the road. And do pray for Pearl Hetherington. I'm sure most of you have met Pearl at some stage or other. And Alan Leslie, Billy's old friend who's not able to get out to church either. They all get CDs. And I think even Esther too, and her neighbours, they listen into the service as well. That's Eddie and Anne. So please do pray for these souls. These are people that we are responsible for over this time to make sure that they have an opportunity to hear a Bible reading, to sing a familiar old song, just to get a little bit of the peace that passeth all understanding and the comfort that God will offer to anybody, especially in a time where all of the things that people have leant upon are gone. There are many verses in the Bible about that. It says, lean not on your own understanding, lean on the Lord, because if you lean on the arm of man, it's like leaning on a broken reed. It'll slip and slide through your hand and injure you, and that's what a lot of people are going through. So please do, even just a few minutes every day, please do call out the names that are mentioned there. Monica and I still appreciate your prayers. Monica is still recuperating from her laser surgery and still noticing things in her eyes. And I keep telling her it's all in her head, but she says, yes, it is. It's just about there. But I don't really say that. Not when she's within arm's reach. Or not when I'm within arm's reach. And please do remember that as well. Amen. I think that's really about that. Are there any other prayer requests? Anything else we need to be thinking on? Frank's going to be leaving us again in a week's time. So will we see you on Wednesday night, all being well?
Yeah.
And we can give him the bumps or whatever it is you do to people that are heading off again. So please do pray for Frank. I'm going to put this down here just in case. Frank, is it down?
It's on under
traveling. What date's today? This is the 25th. That'll be the 25th. And then back a month later, is it?
I'm back a month later for a hospital appointment.
And then away back again? Well, there's no one say grand, but nobody wants to be going to the hospital, but amen. All right. We'll have a word of prayer. Oh, do you know what? Is anybody's private prayer lists? Or is everybody still good with their names being there? The Lord knows what all of those prayer requests are. So I'm good. I'm sure Steve and Pat, we can check that later. Well, okay. Well, Will, would you do the honours for us and have a wee word of prayer on our behalf, please?
Yes, Father, I thank this day, Lord, and thank you for sin. Jesus Christ died on the cross to heal us from our sins, Lord. I thank you for the liberty and freedom that you've given us this land so we can come to your place of worship. I worship you, hopefully, Lord, and primarily in wisdom and truth, Lord. Lord, give us thy love, Lord, and thank you for saving our souls, Lord. And we also give us this day, Lord. We have the people who come together today, Lord, with Christy and Marky, Lord, as they travel to my school, Lord, give them general mercy, provide for them, and keep them, Lord, protect them, Lord, and guide them, Lord, and keep them safe and well, both physically, mentally, physically, psychologically, and more importantly, spiritually, Lord, as well, Lord. And Lord, help them in the way of preparation, provide for them, Lord, and give them strength and wisdom, Lord, and help the people that are attending the wedding, mercies and like traveling mercies, Lord, and provide and may the wedding go without a hitch, Lord, and bless and keep it, Lord, with the union between Taylor and Christy, Lord. With the people who came out tonight, Lord, that are sick or whatever, Lord, if we remember Leonard, Lord, in Malaysia, man, and help them, Lord, and provide for them, Lord, give them spiritual, help them in spiritual needs, Lord, and bless them and keep them also as well, Lord. With John McMahon, Lord, and his Lord, thank you for making sure that he got better, Lord, but also keep on supervising, Lord, and bless him and keep him, Lord, and bring him to the foot of the cross and save him from his sins, Lord. And that, and Carl and Steve, Lord, save them also, Lord. And Lord, with Pat and Steve, each of them have got diabetes, Lord, help them and sustain them, Lord, and help their condition get better, Lord. Even so, Lord, heal them, Lord, and give them grace, and give them some respite, and give them some rest, Lord. And stop them from the pains and aches, Lord, especially Steve, Lord, and his leg and his foot, Lord, and all the conditions, Lord. And blood pressure as well, Lord. Help them and keep them, Lord, as well, Lord. And with Pearl Harrington, Lord, and Alan Ness, Lord, help them and provide for them as well, Lord. And with the CD ministries as they go out to people, Lord, and may use them to touch to their hearts, Lord, convict them of their sin, Lord, and say to them that they might kneel at the foot of the Lord on the cross, Lord, and accept Jesus' blood, Lord, and shed from on the cross for their sins, Lord. This day, Lord, give Mark a touch of the Spirit, Lord, both in this church, Lord, and all those who are churches that are blood-bought, have got blood-bought ministers, Lord, that you may use them, Lord, through the Spirit, Lord, to touch those that are lost, Lord, and to, Lord, through the Spirit, Lord, that souls may be added into the last book of life, both today, Lord, and for the weeks to come, months and years as well, Lord. This day, Lord, provide for us, kids, and may enjoy the service for the honor and for the glory of Jesus Christ again. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Let's take our hymn books again. Or I think this book, actually. We're going to sing hymn number 2, the Blessed Old Book, out of the wee black book. Hymn number 2, we'll remain seated as we sing.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry. A shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old solid foundation where I firmly stand, sin kept me from it, not keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, not keeps me from sin.
Put those away. You can take the big hymn books out. We're going to sing one more before we open our Bibles this morning. This one is Dare to Be a Daniel. We all know that one, don't we? 309, sorry. I'll even give you the number and not just the name. 309. Everybody be scooting to the back for the index. My apologies. 309, Dare to Be a Daniel. We'll stand as we sing, if you're able. Dare to Be a Daniel. Seated. Thank you very much. We're going to be in Luke chapter 21 this morning. Oh, sorry. Luke chapter 21. Amen. Glad you could be here. There were a few other things that I was had for prayer requests, but they've just slipped my mind, so we'll get to them in the fullness of time. I am sure. Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. The last pick is not by accident. We're speaking on the subject of no fear this morning, and we're going to read the first 19 verses of this portion of God's Word. And if it seems familiar, it is because it is Luke's account, the Gospel of Luke's account of the Lord's description to the disciples of the last days, just before the tribulation and the great tribulation, and even during it, on the run up to it, and goodness, and the start of it as well. So Luke 21, beginning at verse number 1, we are reading up until verse number 19. And the word of God says, "And he looked up," that's Jesus, "and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. They also saw a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth, I say unto you, that this widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, Take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." That's going to be our text this morning. "Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not an hair of your head perish, and your patience possess your souls." Amen. Verse number 8 and verse number 9 is our text this morning, and I want to speak just for a little bit on the subject of no fear. I'll have another wee word of prayer and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this morning and for the prayer requests that Brother Will lifted up, for those silent prayer requests that we have in our hearts. And I just want to remember too, Lord, the Kids for Schools in Tanzania and the Christian Institute. Lord, and Francis Cosgrave, wherever he is in the world. And Lord, for all of those men that would stand to preach the full counsel of your word. I think especially just for Brother Stan and Sister Karen up there in Bangor. And Lord, you know all the needs of our hearts. And I pray you this day, Lord, for our daily bread, for the church, for the sale of it, for the vehicles, for the repairs, for, Lord, just everything. But I pray you now, Father, as we take this time around your word, please open our understanding. Please help us to see and to hear and understand the scriptures and the teaching of it. We love you and thank you. We pray this and, of course, our private prayer requests and petitions. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please save our lost loved ones. Amen. All right. Does it sound at all familiar to Matthew 24? The verse that always stands out here is the ones about wars and rumors of wars and famines, pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And I had a wee look, and it's in Mark 13, Matthew 24, and of course in Luke chapter 21. It doesn't appear in the book of John, although there's plenty of things in the book of John that don't appear in the other Gospels. But it pretty much details the way people are going to treat God's people Now bear in mind, the Jews are God's physical people, and you and I are God's spiritual people. You and I that are saved, that trusted in Christ as our Savior, are God's spiritual people. Regardless, there's a reason it's called Judeo-Christianity, because the Jews have a hand in our salvation. After all, the King of the Jews gave his life on the cross for us, just like he did for everybody else. It's sad. A few years ago, we would have said, yep, that's for the far future. Those things are not going to touch us. But we have seen things just in the past few years that the man that God inspired to write down would have loved to have seen. Just not the fact that it's awful and the people have lost their lives and countries have been destroyed, but for the fulfillment of God's will. And we should be looking for that. This portion starts off with, everyone's heard about the widow's mite. And how easy it is for those that are well healed to affect change in and around and about them. And it is. There's the old saying that money talks, and that's just the long and short of it. You can make things happen. But the Lord says he sees things differently. He sees, especially when it comes, and by the way, I'm not looking for more money in the plate. This isn't a land grab or a money grab, so don't take me the wrong way. The Lord sees that this woman gave all that she had, even though it was only a little, but she gave it all to God. And then, this is one of the things that they see as they're walking into the temple, and then as they walk into the temple, Jesus and his disciples, the apostles, and probably even a few other hangers-on, and they're saying, look how wonderful the temple looks. Isn't it amazing with all the gold and the fine stones and all the things that have gone into making the temple? And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you this. There'll come a time, and it's not too far away, that there'll not be one stone left standing on another. And it was about 30, 35 years after he spoke these words that the Roman army burned Jerusalem. They basically set a match to the whole bunch. The gold and the temple melted in between the stones, and the soldiers, in their attempt to get the gold, tore every single stone apart. They tore the walls apart and there wasn't one stone left standing on another, just like the Lord said. After he made these prophecies, they maybe must have thought, we'll try our hand and we'll ask him about the rest. And they said, what's going to be the sign of your coming? What's going to be the sign that of the tribulation of the great tribulation of your coming judgment? And this is what Jesus said. Take heed that you be not deceived. Do not let people pull the wool over your eyes. Don't let them use anything to fool you. He said there's going to be a lot of people come pretending to be your savior. Whether that is a false savior, whether that's what did I see on the front of a newspaper one time? It said, I think it was the Sun newspaper, it was that bastion of literary truth and so on and so forth. It said, technology will save us. Whether it's technology, whether it's weaponry, whether it's medicine, many of these things will save your skin for a little while, but they're not going to save your soul, and they're certainly not a reliable means to base your life upon. They are not a good foundation for life. The Lord said, don't go following them. He says, but you are going to hear about a lot of trouble in the world. Commotions, he said, wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be trouble, and as we read on, we see trouble on every side, from people throwing us in jail, from people wanting to hear, what is it you believe, even from your own family members. And I am sure we can see, I know I can see, close friends and family members that don't agree with the things that I say, and as Stephen Nolan said one time to me in the TV thing, he said, you're allowed to have another opinion to the Bible. And I said, but my opinion is the Bible opinion. I'm allowed to have the Bible as my opinion too. And if people don't agree with the Bible, that's okay, I'm not going to fall out with you, but you're disagreeing with God. Goes on to say a few of the things to look out for, and let's be honest, we have gone over this. We were going over this before these things happened. He says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's always been wars. And there's pretty much always been rumors of wars, and that's not a thing to rejoice about. That's a sad picture of us that we're always fighting. But he also said there's going to be famines, which always come hot in the heels of war. And pestilences too. All the diseases that come from the dead bodies and dead things lying around, sewer systems and infrastructures wiped out. There's always been that. But now we have, before the end of 2019, we would have said that AIDS or HIV was the big disease that was spread across the world, and in a world that's turned upside down that protects it. But now we have this coronavirus, this flu that is gone right the way across the world, and it's affected everybody. There's literally no country in the world that hasn't been affected by it in some form or fashion. And these are the things that the Lord spoke about. Who would have thought we would be seeing this happen in our lifetimes? But it's happening now. Things back to front. Upside down, men wanting to be women, women wanting to be men, children wanting to run families, adults wanting to behave like children. We've got all of these things that the Lord said, that the scriptures say, would actually happen. And we used to, I know, I used to take a little bit of pride in the assertion that the free world, the West, you had the right to free speech. You could stand on a street corner and you could preach the gospel or hand out gospel tracts. Now there are people in the free West, in Canada and America and here, that are being locked up for preaching the gospel, albeit temporarily, and albeit they're able to make huge claims back against the local police force for doing so, but it started. It's worth remembering the Lord said, keep an eye out for these things. And there's something else that the Lord said. How would you feel? How would you feel if you were put in the spot and someone challenged you to give a reason for why you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? How would you feel about having to defend your position? Would it be a case of, you've heard of stage fright, haven't you? Whenever you have to stand up in front of folks and speak or act or do something, and all of a sudden all you can think of is, what are these people going to think about me? And fear locks us up. The Lord said, don't you go thinking about what it is you're going to say, because I'll give you the very words to say. I'll remind you of them. I'll put them on the tip of your tongue. But you actually had to, you have to have them in there to start with, which is why we keep, I keep hammering on about memorizing those. Be blamed for everything. It's the Christians' fault. It's the conservatives' fault. It's the Jews' fault. Did you know how Germany rose to power? They blamed the Jews for everything and united the whole nation around hating the Jews. And that is the same as what's happening in America and indeed in the UK. They're hating on the Christians, God's people. There's going to be a great tribulation. It says there will be. There's going to be a great amount of trouble for all of us. And yet the Lord said, don't be terrified. There will be trouble, but don't be terrified. If you were to read on here, it is a warning to the Jewish people. We're not going to read it. But it basically says, if you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the place where he ought not, he says to the Jews, wherever you are, run for the hills. Don't go back, don't come back from the fields into the house. Don't, even if you're on the rooftop, don't even run back down into your house to grab your coat. Run for the hills. This is the warning. In the book of Revelation, I'd like to read Revelation 12. If you want to join me there, Revelation 12 and 12, of about six verses I'd like to read. It says, you don't have to, I'm going to read them out. You can listen just the same. As part of this warning, here is God's solution. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens that ye, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, that's the Jews, which brought forth the man-child, that's Jesus. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness. In other words, a means of escape into her place, the mountains, where she is nourished for a time and a times and half a time, that's 3.5 years, from the devil. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And typically speaking, the flood referred to peoples. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. There's maybe a message in there, because we know, and I will read on, the dragon was wroth, went to make war with the remnant which kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We know, as we read through chapter 6 through 16 of Revelation, that half the population of the world is going to die awful deaths because they have rejected Christ as their Savior. And it sounds terrifying. It is terrifying. If you look at some of the films that are being released now, and the, like Earthquake or something, Earthquake Los Angeles or something like that there, and a whole bunch of the other ones, Plagues and so on, I'm sure that'll keep going for a wee bit too. There's still money to be made there. Sounds like uncertain times. And there's no way out except Jesus Christ. There's no spaceship going to Mars or even a shuttle going to the ISS that is going to keep people safe from this coming judgment, or indeed the rapture. And there's no deserted island out there either, with even if it has fresh water and a well-stocked bunker, that is going to keep you safe. The only ark of salvation from all this here and now is walking and talking with the Lord God Almighty. This is the knowledge that will keep our hearts and minds. And it's not shares, it's not stocks, it's not gold, it's not silver, it's not food or clothing and gadgets. It's Jesus Christ. And there's no harm in having food and clothing and gadgets and stocks and shares, don't get me wrong. But they will not save your soul. And they will not give your life purpose. It's the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. And trusting in him and him alone, regardless of what comes in front of you, that will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This is for the rest of our lives. Because let's be honest, there's things happening. See, God, when we see God as faithful, and the little things that we trust him with, we'll be able to trust him with bigger things. Not right? When you see your fear disappear into the thrill of duty, and I have yet to hear preachers talking about the thrill of serving God. It is a thrill. It's exciting. It's almost a little bit of uncertainty or fear, and that's normal, but God is greater than our fear. In fact, the Word of God says, and we read it not that very long ago in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, that God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He said in Romans 8:28, Romans 8:15, Romans 8:31, verses worth remembering, that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God loves us. He gave goodness. He gave us himself, his time, his forgiveness, his purpose even, and even his name, his power, his presence, his words, his ministrations, his immortality, and the assurance of salvation no matter what. What have we got to be afraid of? God even put it in simple terms. He says, don't fear man that can destroy the body. Fear God that can destroy the body and then destroy the soul in hell fire. That's what Jesus said. God has given us so much and has showed us that this world is not our home. That there is an eternity to be had beyond the 70 that the average that he gives folks. I just want for you to remember that the worst that the world, the flesh and the devil can do is strip all this stuff away so that Christians can see, yes, God's still there no matter what. His word is still there and his assurance is still there. It's easy to say that, isn't it? It's easy to say, oh, God will help you with your fear. The thing about it is, there is a way for God to help you with your fear. And that is to throw your lot in with him. Instead of spending all of our time gathering stuff, and again, stuff's not a problem. But whenever it's the only thing you think of, then it's a problem. But taking some of our time and putting some of our effort into praising God, reading his word, spending time in prayer, and whenever he says for us to actually go out and speak to somebody, go out and speak to them. Should you even just take a handful of gospel tracts? If you don't know how to be eloquent and use big words, you don't have to do that. Just tell it like it is. Say, look, God's really put it upon my heart to give you a wee gospel tract. There you go. Have a wee read at that and let God speak to you about your eternity. And you know what? There's an adrenaline rush to be had when you do that, because you're stepping out from a carnal battle, a flesh and blood battle, into a very spiritual battle. And it might be the first time you do it, and it's a high. It's thrilling. It's exciting. Waiting to see what words the Holy Spirit will put in the tip of your tongue and hoping and praying that even as you speak the words of eternal life, what was it Peter said? Where else will we go, Lord? Thou hast the computers of eternal life. Did he say that? Where else will we go, Lord? Thou hast the mobile phones of eternal life. Is that right? Does anybody know? Where else will we go, Lord? Thou hast the parties of eternal life. He didn't say any of those things. He didn't say, thou hast the houses of eternal life, or thou hast the yachts of eternal life, or thou hast the youth of eternal life, or thou hast the education of eternal life. He said, where else will we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And those words make a difference. Paul said that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believeth in Romans chapter 1. Whenever you invest in God, he invests back in you and you get a dividend to boot. You will always get better out of it than you put into it. God is not going to let you say to anybody, oh, I spent hours reading and praying and attending church and talking to people about you, God, but I never got anything out of it. You get the ability to stand up and talk to people and not worry, oh, he's a Bible thumper. What am I going to lose, friends? If people start calling me a Bible thumper, what am I going to lose? Tell me what I will lose. All I am going to lose, I can't actually think of anything I will lose. I am going to gain a reputation as a Bible thumper because that's what I want. I am going to gain a closer walk with Jesus Christ because a lot of the things in the world are not going to fit I'm not waving at Monica, I'm talking about things being over there in the world. I am not going to lose any friends because I've lost them already. I might lose a few more hairs, or at least the colour in a few, as I grieve for lost friendships or grieve for souls that fall by the wayside. What have I got to lose? I can't lose my job. It's gone too. I'm dependent upon you folks to eat every day. I can't lose my social standing. It just gets greater and greater with every verse of scripture, with every person I speak to, with every phone call I make. What can I lose? I know a lot of folks might be in a difference. Oh, I'll lose my social standing. I will not be able to go to the best restaurants and drink the fine wines and eat the emperor's food. I won't be able to do that. I won't have my friends to call with because they will think I'm a Bible thumper and they won't want to speak to me anymore. And we are afraid of that. We are afraid of being set apart from the world, and yet the Bible says we are a peculiar people. What are you going to be afraid of? Well, my friends won't FaceTime me anymore. Right? My friends won't WhatsApp me anymore. My friends won't drink with me anymore. Whenever I start talking about Jesus, that should be... Do you know what, friends? That should be a sign to you right away. If the God that gave his life on the cross of Calvary to save your soul and the talking about him is going to make people walk away from him, and that means those people don't like God. They're not going to like you. They're going to want to break you, but they're not going to like you. We are afraid of losing what the world has to offer when we take up God and his offer. And do you know what? Those things that people think they're going to lose and don't do what they should do or could do for God, those things are really going to bring about the loss of everything. Well, can't go drinking. How many people do we know personally that have hurt their health with alcohol, with cigarettes? How many people with unhealthy practices and beliefs in their heads are not doing very well because they won't install the word of God in their hearts and minds? We know the BBC is a left-wing rag. They hate Christians. But even they cannot refute the scientific evidence of loving God. Did you know that? They actually did a survey and they said religious people, by which they mean Christians and Muslims, but mostly Christians, do better in long-term relationships and do better in a mental health basis because they put their faith in a book that has never changed since Adam and Eve were called up out of the dust of the earth. Faith in God and trusting him as your savior and doing things his way. The reason we don't is because we're afraid of loss. And that is why Jesus came to save our souls, so that we can't lose it. And anything you do lose because of following Jesus Christ, let me tell you something, friends, you never needed it. It was going to hurt you. Anyway, I had my notes all finished. And as you do, I remember Christy saying one time that he had a dream, and in his dream he had a solution for a computing program he had gone to bed the night before thinking on. And I remember standing in a shower many times thinking, that's what the answer to that problem is. I'll write that up whenever I get home. And I was sitting, I was either getting washed this morning or brushing my teeth. I was walking down to the church and back. And I thought, I must write that in my notes as well, as you do. I would like to draw your attention way, way back in the Old Testament. If you'd go to Daniel 6 with me. Daniel 6. And I know these next handful of verses that we're going to read are, there are sermons and many sermons worth of sermons in them. But has anyone ever heard of Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael? How's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Way back in the Old Testament, Daniel 6 and 6, the three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were set up as princes in the kingdom of Babylon, but they were hated because they stuck with God. So all of the other presidents and princes wheeled and dealed against them. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whomever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, we'll come to the other one in Daniel 3 shortly. This is Daniel. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. And now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Even though he knew his life was forfeit, he still served and praised the Lord. And we all know what happened. He got chucked into the den of lions. King Darius, this was in the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. King Darius realized he'd been made a fool of, and I remember the words, I wasn't there, but I read them. He said, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, he will protect you. He said that to Daniel as Daniel went down into the lion's den. And we know that God shut the lion's mouths, and the next morning he was pulled up, just fine. And all the princes and governors and all their families, they were thrown in, literally, for trying to overthrow the Medo-Persian government. And the lions, and there must have been hundreds of them, killed them before they even hit the ground. The next one as well is, the whole point was that Darius had been fooled into making a law which prohibited Christianity, but Daniel kept praising the Lord regardless and took the consequences on the chin, and God saw him through. And the same thing happened in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel 3 and verse 8, it said, at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews, and they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down, and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There were certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready at what time, and so on and so forth. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And these guys, they were dealing with the very nitty-gritty. It wasn't a matter of their social standing, and it wasn't a matter of good company, and it wasn't a matter of a nice house or a new car, or maybe not having the career that they wanted because they worshipped God. Their lives were in jeopardy. The thing about it is, friends, our lives, our eternal lives too, belong to Jesus Christ, who bought and paid for them on the cross of Calvary. And we ought not to be afraid of the things that are going on in this world. We ought to be respectfully fearful of the God that loved us and gave his only begotten Son for us, and just do what he says and let the cards fall where they may. I personally guarantee you, having trusted the Lord this way many times, have found it doesn't mean you go through life with a hippie, drug-fueled, high-looking smile on your face with long, scraggly hair. It means you will have ups and downs, but you will have God to go through them with you. And that's it. And there will come a day, Romans 8, verse 28. There will come a day when you will see that God's way was the best way, and you will have no regrets. Because let's be honest, there's going to come a day in Revelation 20 gives us a picture of a day. And it talks about the great white throne of judgment with Jesus sitting on it, because all judgment is given to the Son. And all of the lost, dead, small and great, kings and paupers will stand before him. Not going to be standing before the House of Representatives in America, or the Senate in America. We're not going to be standing in the Houses of Parliament here in England, or in front of the government in China or Russia. Nope. Not going to be standing in front of them. We're going to be standing in front of God. And so will all the people that make up those houses and those governments and those senates and those parliaments and government. They'll all be standing in front of God. They're there. John saw them standing there already. Not answering to man, but answering to God. And I can tell you something, friends. One of the reasons why Christians don't like Christianity, why Christians write Christianity off as a dead religion, is because they have no joy and no thrill. They haven't discovered the thrill of contending for a lost soul. They haven't found it. They haven't found the power of spending a half an hour, or in the words of the song, an hour in the presence of God. They haven't found it. They haven't reached for it. And they haven't taken God at his word for it. And so they're fearful. Has anyone ever seen You've Been Framed? Did you ever see that? The one where people send in their videos of all the silly things that people do. And I kid you not, sometimes my knees and my back actually hurt with the things that people go through. People running along and their legs go up and they land on their backside. I literally feel the pain going from my backside right up to my neck. You ever seen the ones where someone's getting out of a boat or getting into a boat on a pier and they stop halfway? What happens? Their legs get farther and farther apart until the person falls down into the water. That's us. That is many Christians. We're in the boat and we set our foot on the dry land and we stop. We don't want to go any further. We don't want to step onto the rock with both of our feet. So we keep a foot in the boat, and the boat drifts away from the rock, just like the people and the things and the lives that we had before we were saved drift away from Jesus Christ. And we fall down in between. Step onto the rock, never moves, no matter what. There's all manner of power and peace purpose. I'm going to share a wee thing with you about a man I was speaking to not that very long ago, who confided in me that things were not going well for him. And I asked him, what is your purpose? What is your purpose? He couldn't answer. He said, about 10 years before I stopped working for Desmond's, I came to the realization that my purpose was not to rise to the top of Desmond's. It was not to become a computing magnate or a games programmer. All my work in Desmond's paid my bills, enabled me to go to church, to go around the doors, to serve the Lord, and you know what? To really enjoy the rest of my life. And being in church and doing the doors and speaking to souls and putting the leaflets out, that just added so much to my life that even a stupid episode of Star Trek, I was able to enjoy it. That's what it's about, friends. Don't let fear humble you or hamper you or hamstring you. Keep your eyes upon the Lord, and when he puts it upon your heart, if you're not sure, check it against the scriptures, and if the scriptures agree, do it and see what happens. See what happens. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. That didn't come from God. That's the devil trying to stop you in your tracks. All right. Has anybody got a closing hymn? Mrs. Bradfield has a closing hymn out of the wee black books. Hymn number 23. Well, we will stand and sing, Daniel was a man of prayer. Near, that's the hymn number 504. Let's try that. Hymn number 23. God bless you. Don't forget our absent friends. Be much in prayer for them. And have a good Lord's Day. Will, would you dismiss us, please, if you would, brother?
Father, thank you for service, Lord. Use it in our lives, Lord, and our hearts, Lord, and draw us more closer in communion with thee. And Lord, if the people can make that delay, Lord, provide for them and keep them, and help them also, Lord. If John, help them in his sickness, Lord, and help them provide for them as well, Lord. Christy and Marky, as they're going to Mexico, provide them a safe journey and passage, Lord, and provide for them and keep them safe as well, Lord. And pray for all the churches throughout this land, and Lord, throughout this continent, throughout this world, Lord, that are teaching Christ's counsel, Lord, throughout honorably and truly, Lord. Pray for them also, Lord, the service that have gone before, Lord, and the service that yet take place, Lord. Pray for them also, Lord, and may Spirit be poured upon the people attending churches, Lord, and the gatherings, Lord, and save souls by them, and restore backsliders, and pray for those that are lost, Lord, save them also, Lord. Pray for our missionaries, Lord, pray for them. that cause grace, help them, Lord, and protect them, Lord. Revive them spiritually, physically, and mentally as well, Lord. And pray for the release of the national open doors, kids for schools, and release of the national, Lord, and Lord, Christian Institute, and the Christian Law Society, and all those, Lord, provide for them also, and provide for them as well, Lord. Bless this day, Lord, and this is our service, Lord. And may we enjoy today, Lord, and find rest.
Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. I'm going to say shake hands, but tip toes and elbows and all that good stuff.